because it's really easy to get overwhelmed. And when I look back at my life, you know, 5 years have gone by since retiring. Well, 5 years will come in another blink of an eye, then five more years. And I don't want to end up being 95 years old, 85 years old. Man, damn, dude. I wish I would have focused on more things that are important to me, you know, because the hunt, what good is the hunt if you have no one to feed?
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference, click the link, register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference. 111-110.
Training to be a street cop.
I don't know if we've talked about this before, but do you ever think about your intelligence level and level of common sense, quote unquote, uncommon sense, quote Charlie Munger, and compare yourself to a majority of the world? And on top of that, find solace when you meet somebody who might be on a similar intelligence level?
Yeah, I told a friend yesterday, I'm like, you're an idiot to compare yourself to literally anyone in this life, because the fact that someone thinks similar to you is like erroneous, right? Like the general population is not that intelligent, right? I mean, it's insane. And sometimes I like to think that, oh, the community, people smile, people are nice. Like we have probably maybe aligned morals and values and belief systems and thought processes. But then like, I had to go back to like COVID time where I'm just like, damn dog, I thought you had a brain. And, you know, being emotionally controlled. And so when I do meet people, I'm usually like, hey, do you want to like move on my property? Like I'm usually trying to like hook them into my life because I think it's common in that small world, but it's not as common in like the mass majority of like society. I feel nowadays, man, like people are still sucked into the news. People are still like playing with politics. Like daddy's going to come save them. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. And so to walk down a street, or I've been traveling in airports a lot recently, and you have too, to think that any of those people are like thinking of stuff outside of like McDonald's or like Little Flip or like insert some type of distraction, I think it's kind of like silly. I think we give people too much credit. And I know I do, because I'm usually let down 9 times out of 10. And I know there's a lot of smart people out there, but the ones that are going to get triggered by hearing this, they're the ones that probably aren't that smart, the smartest, because they're emotionally controlled. And I think that's what half American society is nowadays, is emotionally controlled.
Well, then those people also, they gather together in groups, and then they're the cancel culture and the mob.
They're called political parties.
Correct.
Yeah. Cancel culture, political parties. You know, my wife said this years ago, like if people knew, and this has probably been said before, but she said it in a way, she's like, if people really knew who the real enemy was, like it would be game over. So, you know, we're fighting amongst ourselves with like, you know, what kind of genitalia you have between your legs or what acronym you're going to call yourself today. And like all this, these silly things. And oh, but Cody, is my gender or my identity silly? Sure. I don't fucking know, unless you want it to be silly. It is. But, you know, people take everything so serious these days, and we like nitpick amongst each other. But if we really knew who the common like denominator was, that's creating all the divide and, you know, hell and turmoil in this world, it'd be a completely different story. You know, that's one reason, like, I believe in good and evil, right? There's definitely evil characters that play into our world, you know, world characters that are all playing the same skit. I mean, you can't even look at politics and think that that's a real thing, right? Like, you cannot be stupid. People are fighting over a president, but they're not fighting over like, you know, Barbara Graybush that's been there for 40 years, right? Like that should ring some red flags for you that they're there forever. And some people usually ask like, well, if it was bad people, why wouldn't they just like take over the world? Well, because then the common peasants, right? All of the humans, they would see who the enemy was and they would team up together. But since we don't have that, right, since they allow us to divide amongst ourselves, right, with all the 20,007 genders, the political parties from the same wing, you know, all the just the crazy nonsense that we see, and not even stuff that's nonsense, like all this pedophilia shit, even the dumb stuff like the UFOs, bro. Like, are you serious? Like, all this stuff they're feeding us, and we're just like attacking each other. But we do what we do best as peasants, right? We go to the internet and we just lose our minds, and we just scroll and we get distracted, and we're like, oh yeah, it's time to vote. Let's change the earth. Go green. It's like, are you serious with your smart car that some kid in Africa is fucking losing his fingers over, digging up your cobalt? Yeah, go green. It sounds good. It's called supporting slavery. Like, but we're just so delusional, I feel like. But at the same time, sometimes I ask myself, like, how delusional are you, bro? So I'm kind of here for the ride, man, because you cannot make up anything that's happening nowadays. Like, they're going to bring back the Omnicore Triceratops virus, and people are going to like cry soon, you know? So like, it's just like, did you not see it coming? I don't know, dude. How do we get down that rant? But yeah, I went down there.
I think it's a fair place to go, because I think, even though when we were together in Nashville, we kind of didn't spend time going deep and thoughtful because I was just too preoccupied with so much shit going on. And, you know, obviously in an event like that, there's not much time to sit down and have that talk and that conversation. We do it here. You know, it's reality. And I think the only way to stay not anxious about it is to ignore it and focus on yourself, your family, the things you can control. You know, appreciate what you have and the things in your life that mean stuff to you, and be here for the ride.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole, like, the high school mentality stuff, where like in the military, like going like their hard training, they're like, we all sink or we all swim. And it's just like, dude, I don't want to swim or sink with these people. Right. Like, it's, there's plenty of room on the door to get on and not drown in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? But there's so many, I don't know. It's like, when do we get so delusional? Like, I stumble across on YouTube or TikTok every now and then, those videos of like those street interviewers are like, hey, show me, where's the Panama Canal located? They're like, Italy, you know? And it's just like, they're like, yep, that's accurate. That's correct. Good job. You're smart. And these people are procreating, they're voting. They're the ones that are holding up, like, you know, BLM signs, Democratic, Republican, liberal. These are the people that are literally these bots, these avatars of the controlled opposition. And meanwhile, I always wondered, you know, have you ever seen The Simpsons, where there's like Ren and Stimpy, or the Itchy and Scratchy show? Like, Itchy and Scratchy are fighting on the set, and everyone's like, yay. And then they go in the back behind the curtains, or they're best friends. And that's literally what all this political jargon is. And the people are like, Cody, you have to do something about it. You should speak up. And, you know, like, dude, if you think that creating a president is going to create change, you are an idiot. America is a corporation. It's a business. The right. Real change needs to happen underneath the presidency. It needs to happen in the Congress and the Senate. These people that have been there from the dawn of time, like, you should not be a careerist in politics. Like, I don't care who you are. That'd be no different if I had the same boss from boot camp all the way to my retirement in the Marine Corps. That would be hell. If this person had a set ideology, or let alone was influenced, guess what's going to happen as they move up? They're still going to be the same way. Same thing in the military, right? These dudes are, they work these jobs and they create these jobs while they're active duty to become a civilian. Here's a little secret. And then they get the civilian job and hired back into the military in that said unit, and they start doing contracts. If you don't think these people have hands and cookie jars that they're serving from themselves, like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. So not only in the military aspect, we see dumb gear come to us, or we see like horrible training because they're trying to hook up like their homie, right? But we see the same thing in politics. Like, why do you think we're going all green all of a sudden? I don't know. You should see who's putting all their money in the stock. Into the green initiative. And right. it's so silly, because we will sit here and talk about racism or homophobia, like all these silly things, and it blows my mind that we have come so far. And you know, when I first moved out here in Idaho, the area that I lived in out in the sticks, they're like, oh, if something happens, you know, we're going to go in town and, you know, we're going to go picket the redcoats. I'm like, haven't you seen Last of the Mohicans, bro? when you go into town to picket the Redcoats, your family gets raped and murdered. Like, why would I do that? Like, I'm not going to go stand shoulder to shoulder with half these citizens because we're not on the same brain wavelength, right? We're not on the same wavelength. They don't see that they want us, right? The opposition, the enemy wants us to harm law enforcement. Why? Why do they want us to hate and harm law enforcement? Because when we do, they bring in the state. When they bring in the Fed, right? Then they bring in this thing called martial law. Right? There's all these tier systems, but they can't do it to us. We have to do it to ourselves. We do have this thing called free will. But we also have good. I believe there's so many good in like Americans. We're just so distracted because people are desperate for change. And therefore, they're latching on to any president that's going to come save them. And no doubt that some of these candidates that I've seen like on the internet, like I'm sure they have great ideas. You know, the last person that had a great idea, he was shot in the head, you know? So that tells me that anyone that had a great idea after since, it must not have been a great idea because they haven't been shot in the head. And if you don't tell me that the technology to do type of stuff like that it exists anymore, you're wrong. And so it hurts my soul. And it's a game I choose not to participate in. And like you said earlier about like, do we just ignore it? I mean, that's a tough one. Because I choose not to ignore it. I have a pulse on it, but I focus on the things that I can control, my thoughts and my actions. If all hell breaks loose and I'm fat and out of shape, I'm not helping anybody, let alone my family. If I'm not, you know, getting my house in order and getting my finances right and overcoming my own adversity and all hell breaks loose, who do you think is going to suffer the most? My family. You know, like all these things. And how can I help my community if I'm not even being able to help my family? How can I help my community if I can't even help myself, right? And it's just really sad, man. In my personal opinion, I think it's sad. What's the fix? Reset, dude. We're literally watching the downfall of Western civilization. Like this is, I mean, it's happening. Like the stories you hear of Atlantis falling, right? This mystical place that never existed. You know, the stories of hearing how that place fell, it's what's happening to America. Our society is literally, it's all sex, drugs, and just deterioration of like family and God and whatever God means to you, right? I'm not talking about a religion by any means. But like these higher powers that bring unity amongst one another, people are begging for artificial food, right? We're doing all these things to, I mean, it's only a matter of time before they're like, the sun's killing us. We have to blow it up. Haven't you seen that movie already, bro? It comes on Amazon Prime. It's got 2 stars. You should watch all the 2-star movies because they're all the truth. And it's just, I don't know. It blows my mind, dude. That's why I have the shit I see. I'm just like, you're fucked.
Again, I think the only answer is to do what we can to contribute to society and take care of what we need to take care of as far as being responsible adults with children and you know, sticking to our own moral character of what we believe is right and wrong, and don't, you know, question that or change that. Does it create an anxiety for you, or do you deal with anxiety at all anymore?
I used to, not nowhere close to how I used to. I've done probably way too much psychedelics to let that kind of like phase me. My anxiety, my overwhelmingness comes from like, now that I'm like, I have more clarity in my life. It's like, man, just trying to not play catch up, but get organized to move the machine forward. That's probably where any of my anxiety comes from.
Let's talk about some of the anxiety that's created from you trying to gather your organizational mindset and figure things out, because this is good. This is important because even at every level, I think that it's continued to be experienced by people who are trying to do more. So maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit. Maybe I can chime in and give you some of my thoughts and the things that I experience as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I just got back from a brain clinic in Texas called the Resiliency Brain Health. And I did a whole 2 weeks immersion there, you know, basically working on my cognitive function, my brain function, my body mobility, stability, everything else. And turns out that my frontal lobe, my prefrontal cortex hasn't been working over all these years. So for years now, I thought like, man, I'm just lazy. I'm struggling. I can't get organized. I don't know how to begin stuff. Like I'm making all these excuses, and it really doubted a lot of myself because that's not how I used to be. And it turns out my brain just wasn't functioning properly. So we did a bunch of work, got my brain actually functioning properly, got a lot of exercises to start implementing. And then I'm home for 1 week after this clinic, and then I'm overseas in Germany, away from my business, away from my family. I'm with my extended family. My son lives overseas, but I'm away from like all my things that I need to do and want to do. And so now that I'm back, this is day one being back. Week one, day one after this brain clinic, I'm just like, man, I now know what I need to do and I know I can do it. It's like, okay, what's the first thing I need to do is get organized. And so I know something that's helped me out a lot is like, I have to get it out of my head and onto paper. I have to plan it all out. I have to write it all down and then take that and start plugging into dates and times that can make sense. So the anxiety of just, it's just like, I want to sleep just barely enough so I can get up and get after it. And then the anxiety of, or the pressure of just like, my wife this morning was like, hey, this is your first day home. You can afford to cuddle with us in the morning. I'm like, system overload. Like at the end of the day, if there's a nuclear bomb that's going to hit this world in 45 minutes, absolutely. My task, my goals, my dreams, none of those mean anything to me, right? And they're not worth it more than my family. And so really letting go and setting myself like bite-sized stuff that I can actually do now, vice just trying to attack each day, you know, running into an ambush, actually set up the ambush myself and be more strategic with it all and have the tools to do that. That's really what's been, what's going to be helpful for me, but that's what's been helpful for me coming up. But before that, man, it was just mad chaos. My whole life was chaos. Yet I'm still functioning and thriving, pushing forward, but it's like not effective, not efficient. And I know on top of that, the anxiety comes from like, I know I can do more. I know I can do not adding more to my plate, but I know I can do more as in be more organized or be more effective with my time management. And struggling with like how to tap into that, how to unlock that. That's probably where a lot of the anxiety came from, really untapped potential, not adding more stuff to do, but adding more of the tactics, techniques, and procedures to actually do those things.
When I say there's a correlation between mental health and effectiveness, as effective as you can, the maximum capability that you have as a human being, how important is that?
I mean, I don't think it's 100% you have to be, but you definitely have to be aware and investing into your mental health. You know, I think you can be super effective. Like I had super paralyzing, like gnarly anxiety towards tail end of my career, but under high states of stress, it's not a big deal. I could function. It was a low states of stress that created like decapitating, you know, immobilizing anxiety for me. It was like the 0 mile an hour stuff that killed me. But hey, there's someone killed on the battlefield or someone injured or something, you know, we need to source something and do something, that level of stress and anxiety, that was nothing to me. But on the flip side of that, where's my keys at? You know, like these, like, oh my God, I'm going to lose it all. But when you said the effectiveness of how you perform and like your mental health, yeah, it's reestablishing your baseline, and investing into you, because nothing exists outside of you, your goals, your dreams, your belief system, your family, none of that stuff. If you're not here to function and operate, especially let alone see it, right? Like if your mental health is like muddy, chances of you being present are really slim. And I know a lot of people struggle with being present in the current moment, not thinking about the next 10 moves, but, oh, look, my kid just picked a booger, or, you know, like something that's really important, you know, like. And something that's helped me a lot is thinking about that nuclear bomb scene where like, hey, if a bomb's coming in 30 minutes, dude, and that's all we have left in this life, I don't care about anything else. You know, these humans that I associate with, that's all I care about. And trying to remind myself that throughout the day, because it's really easy to get overwhelmed. And when I look back at my life, you know, 5 years have gone by since retiring. Well, 5 years will come in another blink of an eye, then five more years. And I don't want to end up being 95 years old, 85 years old. Man, damn, dude. I wish I would have focused on more things that are important to me, you know, because the hunt, what good is the hunt if you have no one to feed? You know, like what good is the hunt if you're not sheltering those that you care about? You know, what good is the hunt if you're not building those you care about? And that's been a huge reality shift for myself, is not being so selfish, but serving my family more and serving my people, my circle more, and making it more about them and not just Cody. So now when it comes to my personal application of my organization or task management, time management, I can fail myself all day. I can let myself down all day, but I cannot do it to them.
When you signed up for Special Forces and got involved, did you know the consequences, or could you even speculate the consequences you would have to pay for doing that kind of work? And would you change anything now knowing what you've been through?
Just clarify, it was Special Operations, Special Forces, Army. Okay.
Marine Corps,
no,
it's Raider.
All good. Just Special Forces is Army Green Beret. So the Army Green Beret, Special Forces, Marine Corps has Marine Raiders. Navy has Navy SEALs, and then Air Force has Air Force Special Operations Command, and different units all underneath all those branches. But no, not really. I mean, I didn't have the mindset that I have now back then, but either way, I wouldn't have changed anything. The one thing I do say now is like, I don't know. Granted, I did have a son while I was active duty and while I was deploying still. I was not in his life. It was towards like the tail end, so I think there was maybe one deployment that I was active duty that I had my oldest son. I cannot imagine being on the teams and having a kid. I don't know how those guys do it. You know, being involved now and like seeing my son, and granted, I'm in a completely different like mental space and like just like heart space, but like I was gone for 30 days and my son changed so much. I know men that would go home on deployment, come back after 2 weeks after their kid was born, and they're gone for six more months. I couldn't imagine what the emotional roller coaster those men, or those moms or spouses were going through. And so that is tough. So I never knew what that was like, but if I was to be in that job now with my life, it wouldn't be for me. It would not be worth it to me. Because that type of job to me was all about self and my team, my buddies. You know, I try to tell people this. People are like, I want to serve and do something bigger than myself. I want to keep America safe. I'm like, well, you're not going to keep America safe in the military. Let's just get over that. Like, you know, I'm not a butthurt military guy, but the military is a strong arm of U.S. policies and agendas. That's all it is, right? 20 years for looking for weapons of mass destruction. And after 20 years, we found zero. After 20 years, we pull out randomly in the middle of the night from Afghanistan and turn over everything to the Taliban and millions upon millions of dollars of equipment and gear and watch thousands of people get murdered, raped, and abused, right? This isn't about war and saving people, right? But in the military, at least for me and a lot of the guys that I served with, this is about you felt the call, you wanted to pursue something that was hard, dangerous, and that most people wouldn't be able to do or couldn't do. And then number two is the guys and girls to your left and right. I mean, those are your homies. You blood, sweat, and you blood, sweat, and cry with them through training. And then you go do the same thing downrange. And like, to me, that's what was worth it all, is like that brotherhood, sisterhood of being around those caliber of people. But that was really it. But did I know what I was getting into? No, I guess. I mean, I had an idea. I wanted better training, better missions, and better equipment. That was like my, this is what I want. I want better training, better missions, and better equipment. And there's a price you pay for that. And then obviously there's the tier one units that I have plenty of friends that are over there, and you know, the divorce rate's high and they're constantly gone. And even though the commands do their best to blend that family life, but it's a very unforgiving job. It's like any selfless acts of service job. It's just being a law enforcement officer. Like, honestly, it's the same thing in a lot of ways. My dad was a cop for 41 years and that dude was always gone. You know, not only gone, emotionally gone as well. You know, when he retired, he was emotionally gone. While he's active duty, he was emotionally gone, because whether you've been involved in a shooting or late night training, and let's just be real, right? Probably the officers that you worked with your entire career were probably rad. It was your command that probably sucked and made everything miserable. The politics that made everything miserable, right? You're like, why am I going to put my life on the line when I'm going to get hung by my own people? you know, crucified by my own people because a new policy came out that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of, right? That's what keeps you kind of like a sour taste in your mouth. And that emotional stress is very hard. And so, yeah, in a roundabout way, no, I guess I knew what I was getting into. Would I go back and change any of it? Hell no. Not at all, man. All those struggles and hardships made me who I am today. And honestly, give me the platform to be able to speak about it. Because if I didn't have those level of experiences, I would just be a face tattoo guy. Fuck them.
Tell me the story about your oldest son.
So I was under investigation in Afghanistan, under two investigations in Afghanistan while I was on deployment. I came back from that rotation. They started up two more investigations on the same act. During my fourth investigation, they pulled me out of my team. I was the team chief. I was in charge of my team. They pulled me out of my team and then put me in our operations shop, our operations center. And basically, I was there to do my time until my stuff was up and I could go back to my team. Well, once I got acquitted of all my charges, my boss at the time, he's like, hey, there's a spot opening up in Germany. Go work. It's working for the current and future operations. Germany operates Africa in the special operations world. And so like, hey, go out to Germany for this small rotation and do your time and you'll come back to your team and everything's per cheesy. So I'm like, all right, cool. It was a joint billet. So I was working with Air Force, Army, Navy, all the branches. And in that type of world, the special operations, working joint billets, it's actually a lucrative position. It's not fun because you're away from your team, but you're in this joint environment where you're learning so much more about like mission planning, how the policies and procedures work, how the processes is. So you can arm your teams and yourself with how to get stuff approved. So it's another facet of combat operations. It's just the less sexy one. And so I go out there and I work in this like desk job. And like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like most of the jobs, right? They're kind of simple positions and you find ways to fill the gaps and therefore they become obsolete. And I met my son's mom. She was a nurse. She's a German local. And I met her and long story short, we started dating. And throughout my duration of time in Germany, and I didn't want to like end that. I wanted to continue that. And she came to visit in America. And, you know, there was like hopes like, hey, let's make this. This is going to be a real thing. We got engaged. It was like, dude, it was like the big deal. I was super stoked. I think we were both excited. And she came to America. She went back home. And well, turns out she got pregnant in America. And she's like, hey, I'm pregnant. I'm like, oh, this is exciting. You know, this is crazy. It's like a dream come true. And then it kind of just started going downhill. I'm not casting blame on anybody, but just a lot of talk like, hey, I don't want to come to the States. I'm not going to come there. So I looked to give up my job. And we have a billet in Germany at the time. And it just was like one thing after another. It just was not working out. It was just a lot of stress. And yes, but we had a beautiful son. He was born 7 years ago. And needless to say, I didn't get a lot of interaction with him when he was born. I got to be there for his birth. I was there for like a few days afterwards. We were supposed to kind of like continue the relationship, but I ended up calling it off. It just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to work out. And so for years, I didn't really get to talk to him. I mean, obviously he's a kid. He ain't talking anywhere. He's like just drooling on himself, but I really didn't get much interaction. And about a couple of years ago, we started to pick up communication and yeah, whatever happened for whatever reason this year, for the first time in 7 years, I flew out to Germany to get to spend time with him, honestly, like 3.5 weeks. And that was it was a big, powerful thing. And I felt like a failure every day, you know, from the day he was born that I wasn't his life. I felt like a statistic. I felt like I created a statistic with his mother. And I just felt so inadequate. I felt like such a failure and unworthy and just all these crazy emotions. And then I have my youngest son who's 19 months now, who lives with me. And that relationship, I'm just like, holy crap. Like these are all the things that I missed out on. And these are all the things that my oldest son never got to experience. So when I went out to Germany to see him, it was like, I know you exist. Like, now we're together. And it was overwhelming for both of us. And hopefully a lot of healing for him, because there's definitely a lot of healing for me. But just so much gratitude for his mom for like doing as much as she can to hold down the fort for him and show him the best way. But I definitely see, you know, what happens when there's not a present father in the picture. It's very apparent what it does to a young man. And so that was hard to kind of stomach, but the shame and guilt, I don't really feel it anymore. All I can do is change how I do going forward. So it was a lot of crazy emotions over the past few months, and let alone a few years.
I'm kind of getting ahead of myself by asking this question, but since you brought it up, what's the plan going forward? I'm going to come back to a little some of this other stuff, though.
Yeah. I mean, realistically speaking, I mean, it's not the best, but I'm looking to do like at least every year until we talked about once he reaches a certain age, she'll let him like travel to the States. And so, I mean, there's a lot of growing and maturity on his end that he needs to do first. But until then, you know, travel at least out there like once a year and do more time FaceTime and communication, because now I'm more than just a face to him. You know, I'm real to him. And one cool thing was, he was like telling all these people, his mom was like, you better come here. Like, if you say you're going to come, you better be here. I'm like, dude, I got the ticket. I'm coming. And she's like, okay. Like, cause it would like devastate him. And so he's telling all the kids at a school that, hey, my dad's coming. He's American. He's got an action figure. And they're like, well, your dad's not coming. Like, he doesn't have an action figure. So it was cool. I got to bring my son my action figure. And like, you know, I got to come and spend time with him. And like, he's getting to go back to school and be like, dude, I told you I'm not full of crap. And, you know, probably for a little 7-year-old, that's a lot of street cred, you know. And I don't know. But that's the plan moving forward, is make the best as we can and just strengthen the relationship through digital communication in the interim.
Tell me about the moment that you actually saw him in person recently.
I walked out of the terminal and I saw his mother and him, and I was like kind of shell-shocked, you know. Like, I, you know, when my son was born, I hated myself. I was knee-deep into my military life, you know, all sorts of like PTSD and trauma, active duty, you know. Like, I just wasn't happy with the dude I saw in the mirror. So my emotional intelligence and my heart openness was non-existent back then. So when he was born, I'm just like, am I supposed to feel something? And then when I saw him, you know, 30 days ago, it was just kind of like a shock. It wasn't until that night he wanted to stay with me, and we slept in the same bed, which was, it was all new experiences, right? We like slept in the same bed. It's just like, I know you're my son, but it's just, it was weird for me. That's the only word I could say, weird, you know? I love him. It's just, it was uncomfortable. It's weird. And we're laying in bed and I like put my arm in his back, and dude, I just started bawling, man. I just started like, just like shivering and convulsing, just like crying. And there was like no thoughts leading up to it. It was just like all those years, man, of just, you know, not being there for him and not seeing him, not knowing him, and feeling like a complete failure. Dude, I fucking hated myself, bro. And when my youngest son was born, I'm like, all I was thinking about was like, damn, am I going to repeat the same thing? Be a piece of shit, be distant, not be there, not know how to communicate. So like, there's just all these things I was balling up for 7+ years. But it was uncomfortable at first, but then it definitely opened up. And, you know, I just focused on like, hey, I can't change him in, you know, a few weeks, but what I can do is like set the example the best I possibly can. So I really focused on like communicating with him and leading by example with him. That's the kind of like the two things that I focused on for our first interaction.
Did he see you get emotional?
Oh yeah. I don't give a fuck who sees me cry. He saw me cry in the car. He saw me cry on bed. He told his mom, he's like, dad's eyes are peeing. Like, just, I don't give a shit. Like, I remember even on the way to the airport, we were about like 30 minutes out, and you know, even his mom was crying, you know. Like, his mom is a good person, and but her son, our son's only wish was to have a dad. That's heavy. And now dad comes into the picture and dad's got to go again. Bye. I love you. Like, that's not easy, especially for a 7-year-old kid, especially for a mom who's stuck there to deal it up, deal with it. And she's like, hey, so I should probably start saying goodbye. You know, we're 30 minutes out. And, you know, I told him I'm going to miss him and love him. And I'm, you know, using my translator and I'm talking to him and I'm telling him like, hey, what did we learn? You know, how are we supposed to treat our mother? How do we look at people? How do we act? And I'm going to miss you and all this other type of stuff. And I just started just breaking down again. I'm like, fuck. And I wasn't mad that I was crying. I didn't care that he saw me cry. I'm just like, it makes me wonder like how much of all that is still trapped inside me, you know, where I can't be emotionally connected because I have this, this mechanism, man, where crazy shit happens. And then my mind just shuts off. You know, I saw my mom basically dying in Germany too. That's why we went to staying out there a couple of extra weeks. I walked into her, her blood sugar got extremely low and she was like fucking not conscious. And I'm like, dude, my mom's going to die. So I'm like saying goodbye to my mom. And I'm like, oh my God, all this stuff's happening. And then like my emotions just kind of like shut off. And so it just makes me wonder like how much of that trauma from just all my life is still there. That's keeping me from like just truly processing everything. And so, I mean, it definitely shows and illuminates like more stuff for me I need to work on, but I'm glad I was able to get some tears out with him and in front of him. And, you know, my son will never not think that a man doesn't cry. Like my dad never showed me emotion. I'm not faulting my dad, but my dad loved me the best way he knew how to love me. You know, instead of me just yelling at my kid, I'm like, hey, do you think that's the best way that we could do that? Or what would you suggest? How do you suggest we do this? Right. So I really flipped the script on how I would communicate with literally anybody. And a lot of that help came from my wife, a lot of books and shit that she's reading, but just like in the way that we're communicating with our youngest son. But I mean, dude, this is a really big emotional growth, transformational experience for me, nonetheless.
What do you think he thinks about you?
And I think he thinks I'm a superhuman. You know, he's like, my dad has big muscles. You know, he thinks so much of me. And, you know, I don't really think all the things that he thinks about me, about myself. But it just shows me that, like, you know, this epiphany of like, it's not about me, man. Like, I cannot be lazy or comfortable because I will jeopardize everything for my son's life, my youngest son, my wife. So, but I think he thinks a lot of me. He likes me. He loves me, which is awesome.
I want to go back a little bit. So you land in the airport. Are they waiting for you there?
Yeah, they're waiting for us outside the baggage claim. So we had to walk down a corridor and my son had a sign and his mom had a Polaroid camera. And I'm just like, oh shit. And like on the sign, it says like, my daddy's here. And it's got like, you know, a German flag, an American flag. I'm like, fuck. Like, it's just, it was intense. It was crazy. And everyone's like looking and shit. Like, hey, look, there's that absent American dad, you know, like, I'm like, fuck, it's crazy.
So were you feeling like anxious as you were walking down the terminal to meet your son for the first time? Obviously, you see the sign. But before that sign, were you getting like really worked up a little bit?
Honestly, I just treated it like a patrol. Like, I just got off a helicopter. My nods are on. And I walk into like pitch black silence and I'm moving to a target site. I kind of just treat it like that. And not trying to be in a douchey way, but I just hit, I have a mission to do. It's not about me. You're here for him for these next few weeks. Whatever happens, fucking deal with it, face it. So that was kind of like my mindset, my approach to it all.
So you walk through, he's holding the sign. You guys go into a hug. Tell me about that moment.
Yeah, I'm just like, I saw everyone and him and his mom and I'm like, hey buddy, and he's like, hi, and like he came and we kind of like mutually like walked towards each other and give a hug. And I was like not super emotional. I was just like, you know, it's shock kind of. And his mom took a picture, gave her a hug, they gave my mom a hug, and we just started walking out. And that was really it. My son was kind of quiet after that because I'm still a stranger. And we get into the car to head back to this Airbnb we're staying at, and he like was showing me like all these like in the back of her car, she's got like these like this little holder and he's got little toys and pencils and shit in there. And he's like showing me these like Pokemon things and shit he's into. And then he had like a little tic-tac-toe or Connect Four. I think it was just called Connect Four.
Yep.
So we just started playing like Connect Four in the car, and that was it, man. Just trying to just like kind of like be his big play toy and like let me, you know, his play buddy. And that was it, dude. Just shutting off my own family life to experience this family life. And it was definitely emotionally weird for me. It was uncomfortable.
Was his mother appreciative that you showed up?
Yeah. I mean, she obviously has a lot of emotions tied to it as well, but she was super appreciative, and all she cares about is her son, and you know, that he now knows who his dad is. And so that's really all she cared about. She's a savage. I mean, she's like,
this is a lot about her to have the bravery to do right by her son against probably some of her intuition to protect her son. Right.
Yeah. I mean, this is all he's wanted. And, you know, she knows that he needs a dad and I'm his dad. And, you know, she's done a lot of growth and stuff like that too. And it's just been a good experience. I mean, can't go back in time, can't change anything. So what has happened has happened. So all we can do is really focus on moving forward. Like today I messaged him like, hey, how's our son? And, you know, she calls me instantly, not to talk to me, but on FaceTime, and I instantly see him. And so just trying to be more active into that world, you know, for 7 years, it's just been like a bank, you know? And so now I get to like be part of his life, like really be more than just a stranger over the phone.
Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going out every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow.
It also speaks volumes to the work that you've done, now who you can be for him, the person that he needs you to be. So, you know, dude, like, kids are very forgiving. I mean, they are so forgiving that you I don't even have to ask that if he forgives you. Like, it just goes to show you, here you are walking into his life 7 years later and just this immediate acceptance. There's no anger. He is ready to have a relationship with you. He made it so easy for you because that's the kind of people kids are. And they're just always looking for that. So now you're able to do a lot more damage control than him being a 22-year-old kid trying to reconnect with his father. And, you know, you do the best you can, man. There's a lot of friction between you and Germany. You have a whole family, you have a whole life, you have business, you're working on things. But showing up is the most important thing, even though it might not be in person. I think it's a good lesson learned there that you're showing up. And so if you can continue to just show up in those moments and, like, you know, dude, how hard is it to pick up the phone and do a FaceTime? Even for me, and you know this about me, we're friends. When I think about somebody, I just text them just to show up and be a friend. That's it. I just think about, yeah, there's no ulterior motives. I have nothing to gain. I just want people to know that, like, hey, I'm thinking about you. I know you're a human being, and I like you, and I'm thinking about you. So, you know, I think sometimes we could do the best that we can. As long as you can say that, hey, I'm working with what I got now. You know, I'm doing the best that I can. I mean, it's a big journey out to Germany. It's a big hike. How long did it take you to get there?
With, like, the layovers and stuff, I think it was, like, 12 hours. And then on the way back, it was much longer. And what was crazy, too, is, like, we were supposed to be out there 2 weeks. And I woke up in the morning, supposed to leave it for the airport, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up to a text message from my airline saying, like, hey, your flight's late 24 hours. And I was like, fuck, you know, so like, I'm like prepared to go home, right? I've already closed this off. I'm opening back up my other life. He's done the same thing. He already said goodbye to me. And, you know, that's when I tell my mom to go to bed, and I walk into her basically like dying. And I'm like, oh, God. So like all these emotions, man, over these past few weeks, and then I'm there more, and he doesn't know how long I'm going to be there. And I got to say goodbye again. It's just, you know, it was just a lot of emotional stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I thought I was stronger for things, but then I just realized, like, man, I'm fucking human, dude. What is strong? Yeah. So, you know, what is strong? What does strong mean? And I just, like I said, man, I've really reframed a lot of things in my life, and this is only day one being back home. So I have, you know, there's still a long road ahead of getting things done and, you know, going after stuff. But yeah, it was a lot. I just have a lot of work to do, man. My own personal mental health, my own personal psyche, and some time just to process this. This is a really intense last 30 days of my life. My mom, my son being gone, pressures of home, my businesses that I haven't been able to touch for 30 days. Like, this is a lot of shit.
You know, just so you know, you're not alone in the frustration that you have with yourself, because I say to myself, well, you're supposed to be this person. You're supposed to be this calm, cool, and collective person, and always relax and always calm. And I got to tell you, the experiences that I've had over the past 2 to 2.5 years of my life have really taken a toll on me. And for the first time in a very long time, I'm living in a, I don't want to say it's debilitating, but a heightened state of anxiety. And so when I recognized that it was consistent and wasn't leaving, and I'm a very unanxious person, I literally texted my therapist. I'm like, hey, I'm coming back. You have openings still. I'm open. And, you know, we started off with some of the things last week. She goes, well, what do you want to talk about? Or 2 weeks ago, because I'm going today after we, you know, a couple hours here. And so, you know, I'm glad that I can recognize that when it's getting a little too much, and, you know, where somebody's looked at as maybe a person who has it all figured out, I'm just human too. So I've been living that lately, dude. I've been living that feeling of sometimes I just don't know what to do. And I mean that in every part of my life. And then the cool thing is it's just a moment in time. So these moments in time, they pass. And it becomes more clear. And I'm learning that more and more. But I just want to convey to you that, like, I know how you feel. That's why I started bringing up the anxiety thing, because it's something that's very heavy on my mind right now. And it's impacting. So, you know, I think that it's good to know that you're not the only person. I'm saying that to this audience because, you know, give it some time. This too shall pass. It'll process. You'll feel better. This is a moment in time. Nothing lasts forever. It's just nothing lasts forever. How's your mom doing, by the way?
She's doing much better. She's actually going to end up moving out here with me. So I'm really excited about that.
Go ahead. She agreed to now?
Yeah, she finally agreed to it. And, you know, I think it's a lot of a wake-up call about stuff. And, you know, and one thing I try to tell my mom is that, you know, like, I want you to do whatever you want to do. You know, like, you're not going to live forever. None of us can live forever. And so, you know, you could stay at home and do shit, or you could come out here and see your grandson and get healthier and be around nature and me and all this other type of stuff. And she's all about it.
How was your relationship with your mother?
It's pretty good. I love my mom. It was pretty rough. It's probably rough ever since I was a kid up until about pre-COVID. And then once COVID happened, we lived in the mountains in Tennessee in a cabin. And we really worked on a relationship there. Because we couldn't even have a conversation with each other without, like, yelling. We didn't hate each other. We were just, like, rude to each other. My mom was programmed to be mean to me because I was rude to her all these years. And so it took us a lot of time to not get past that, but to work on that and to work on our communication. But yeah, I love my mom, dude. She's a strong, brave woman. She's a badass. She has fuck cancer on her arm. Like, she's just a gangster, dude. I'm very fortunate to have her.
When did it become pretty rough with your mother in a relationship?
I don't know, man. I think when I joined the military, I think I was still trying to, she's like trying to baby me still. And I'm like, dude, I've like hurt people at this time in my life. And I'm like still trying to get babied by my mom. And I'm just fucking, you know, I was a dickhead, you know, I'm trying to like break away from like the family. And like, I'm a hardcore dude now. And, but I remember my dad when he was alive, he's like, you guys both shut up. But I had so much hate. I don't know if I had resentment for her or hate towards her. I don't know. I probably just hated myself. But I remember one time very vividly towards the end of my career, I told my mom, like, I was like, fuck you. And I'm like, I felt so bad after saying that, but I just felt like so hurt. And she just kept on like pestering me. And honestly, my mom had a lot of pain and trauma, you know, and after my dad died, it definitely didn't get better. And so I don't know. But I don't really know when it started getting bad specifically. I just know when it started getting better. And I know where we're at now.
How was your mother with your son in Germany? What was that like to watch?
I mean, my mom is kind of like an old cat. She's kind of like set in her ways in a way. She's met him 3 times now. When he was a baby last year, the year before last, she flew to Germany by herself. And then she came out with me this time. So I think she was kind of just like along for the ride. She was getting frustrated because he's a kid with that's a 7-year-old disrespectful, you know, has no manners. He's a fucking 7-year-old kid, no dad. Like, what are you? He's a fucking kid. Get over it. And I'm way more chill than my mom. My mom's like always in the red and very like 75-year-old woman, you know? And so I think she just went out there really because I asked her if she wanted to go. But it's not good or bad, but my mom was also kind of sick half the time too. So I think it was kind of like neutralized for her involvement being out there.
Does he like your mother?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think so. But just like, but the main focus was with me, you know, my kid, he's like, I'm bored. So like the house that I stayed in had a lake right behind it. So like we're in the water like 24/7. So he didn't have time to interact with anyone else but me. So
how's his mother? Where the relationship with him and his mother, has she had boyfriends? Have there been any other father figures in his life? Does he have uncles?
No uncles. She's had boyfriends and stuff like that. She has another, just a 2-year-old son also. So, but none of it's been the same, you know, and our son he's a lot to deal with. I mean, that kid's got, that hasn't been there ever, you know? So mom raised him the best way mom could do it. So I'm sure it doesn't make it easy on either party, you know? So it's just been, and German culture is completely different than American culture. It's just like, she's like the Scarlet A out there. Cause she's got an American kid and the dad's not there. And, so it just, there's just a lot of things going against it. And I think that she's done the best that she's could, with what she's had.
What's your relationship like with her now?
I think it's cool. I think it's getting better, but once again, like her focus isn't, you know, me or us, it's, you know, him. But I'm always at the whim of what she wants to do, you know, like I'm not on any like official paperwork with my son. I'm on the paperwork that says like he's my son, but like not on the birth certificate, not on like he doesn't have my last name. So I'm really just at the whim of like what she wants to do when she says that he can come travel and visit, you know, all these types of stuff. And so, you know, I'm not even faulting her for that. Like at the end of the day, she's got full custody. She is responsible for him and his well-being. And so I'm just really just here to support the best way I can without being emotionally attached to how it needs to play out and without being like butthurt about it all. You know, I know he's in good hands. I know I'm gonna get to see him. If I said I wanted to come out there every 2 weeks, I probably could, but really gonna shoot for the summertime when it's really makes more sense to spend the most time with him and where she's kind of have like a freed up schedule. So,
I mean, as things maybe evolve in your life, business wise, and your kid gets a little bit older and yeah, maybe you'll have the ability to go out there more than once a year, but still, I mean, it's much more than a lot of people would do. So I don't think you should ever fault yourself for the effort you're able to give. As long as you're making sure that you're giving that effort, you can only hold yourself accountable if you don't try.
Right.
You know, it's a hard thing, man. It's a hard fucking thing. I can't imagine. And then, you know, glad to see that your mother has come to her senses and you have a good relationship with her at this point. It's a whole other topic for me as well. And so to answer the question, my own question, I think I started having a very distant relationship with my mother when I was like 9, to be honest with you. That's how long ago it was. Very frustrating relationship. And so, you know, I got the, kind of hit the unlucky lottery a little bit. Maybe not as unlucky as other people, but certainly not as lucky as most. And for you to be able to have love for your mother speaks volumes. That's really cool. I'm glad you guys found some middle ground to be able to communicate on and exchange love, because the last thing you want to do is have regret. You know, I don't know. Don't feel like you're the only one, dude. It's all the same shit. I mean, we're fucking friends. I don't know if I'll ever unlove you because I love you, but yeah, but you know, you're not the only one. I know you got a lot of eyes on you, a lot of people watching your shit, you know, but I think you do a pretty good job.
I don't know. Sometimes I ask myself, I'm like, dude, I share too much, or I'm too open. I look at these other dudes that are influential. I'm like, these, and they have everything figured out. They never have a hard time, right? Their life is just like, it might not be perfect. They never claim it to be, but they're just always like business or using social media for business. I'm like, am I doing this shit wrong? Like today I'm like, I want to burn everything down and like, I don't know anything. But then I'm like, you know what? Fuck them, dude. Because I have to remind myself, I cannot for one second think that I'm anything like them or they're anything like me or that we think any way like the same. I cannot do that. That's giving away my power and it's giving away too much credit. And so this is how I feel called to live, open and just, dude, I want to be a better person in all aspects of my life. And, you know, I really believe in generational trauma and I believe in healing and, you know, I have a chance to fucking change all that.
Yeah. But you are interrupting that. Shit.
Until I change myself, you know, like, you know, I remember texting my son overseas, you know, while I'm using my translator to type in the message to like press play for him, or I'd speak it and I press, you know, press play and I'm like, dude, the play button won't work. And I relook at what I said. I'm like, can I say this a different way? And so I would delete it, right? Cause it didn't play for a reason. I would delete it. And then I'd reframe my statement or question. And then I play that for him. Not like, why are you doing this when I said don't? That's like what I said or typed. I'm like, and it wouldn't play. I'm like, what do you think, or how do you think you're supposed to act in this situation or some shit like that, right? Just reframed it where it was less aggressive and more like, hey, curious, you're 7 years old. You're still growing and developing as a little person. What do you think? You know, because it's easy to be mean. It's easy to be a dickhead. And it's easy to go straight to spankings and shit like that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to use my fucking brain, dude. And I was definitely spanked as a kid, which I don't regret any of it. I heard pretty sure you've probably heard the same thing, right? But just with just enough childhood trauma, you can become extremely successful. But there's still a price you pay for that. You know, I'm 38 now, very successful in the military, building that success as a civilian, building and growing who I am and what I'm involved in. I have a long way to go. But I've also realized that young childhood trauma, no matter what it is or how it comes from, there's a lot of work to be done with that. You know, so it might forge you as a young person to set you up for quote unquote success, but at what cost, right? Success comes with a price. And success can be, you know, overcoming adversity, going to war, getting shot in the helmet and picking up and pushing the fight still. You know, it could be all sorts of crazy things. But at the end of the day, you have to face and pay the piper for these gifts, right? Trauma is a gift. And because if you can either use it as a tool to enhance and to impact, or you can allow it to be a cancer and kill and consume. And that all comes down to perspective. But either way, you're going to pay.
Well, I think we covered a lot today.
You know, I think a lot of stuff that maybe some people won't appreciate the front part of this, but definitely towards the end, there's a lot of dads and moms out there that follow you and your team. And, you know, the job that of your audience is not easy. You know, it's very unforgiving. And a lot of them have families. And when they go home, you know, if anything, no matter what happens in the battlefield, if they can go home and be there for those young eyeballs that are looking up to them or looking to mend relationships with eyeballs that don't live with them anymore, I mean, that's a fucking win, dude. You know? So I think they'll definitely appreciate this and enjoy this.
All right, dude, I'm going to fucking roll. I got a podcast in 17 minutes. I got to piss. Yo, hit me up, dude. I know you're back now and we'll figure some shit out. And I think I can help you with fucking let me know.
Cool, man. Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you.
Later, bro.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.